Happy Thanksgiving, Steve. How you doing?
I'm doing well. It's great to hear you on the other end. Thanks a lot for the time today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you got it. You got it.
Before I get to Penn State and Michigan, I have to ask you, in calling the DeAndre Hopkins play from Kyler Murray, what was that moment like, and what did that mean for that for the Arizona Cardinals?
As you know, Steve, all those Hail Marys are obviously unexpected, but especially just the way that game went, it was so deflating. They were seemingly in command after coming back from down 23-9. And then Stephon Diggs got a touchdown pass with just a few minutes left, if even that. I think it might have been a minute. And it was so deflating. I was sitting, I felt like I was in the corner with a dunce cap on, just sitting there, you know, calling the plays, just, okay, you know, first down, oh, no timeouts left, incomplete pass, you know, you're staring at 5-4 in the face, and then maybe 5-5 with the game Thursday in Seattle. So I was kind of in the tank. And then, you know, it took me a while based on where our booth position is. I don't know where your booth was when you did the Fiesta Bowl, but ours is in the corner.
Yes.
Opposite of where the touchdown was. So, like, I couldn't see it the way I wanted to. I wanted to be sure before I called it out, and I just saw one of the other players leaning over to DeAndre Hopkins, like, celebrating. So I wasn't sure what exactly happened. And so it took me kind of a second. You know, you always want to be right. You don't want to guess. And it was fun to see when the smoke cleared, DeAndre Hopkins sitting there with a football. It's one of the greatest finishes to a game I've ever been a part of.
Yeah, in fact, I think I know exactly the location, because I think we had your booth for the Fiesta Bowl. So yeah, and that's the toughest part of that field to see, is that corner, because it's on your near side on the other end of the field.
Exactly, and so I'm sitting there with binoculars. And it's not like you have all the fans. A lot of times you can, you know, go based off of the emotion of the fans. And there were about 4,000 people there. So there was some emotion, but not a lot. So, you know, there wasn't the roar of the crowd. You didn't have all the fans standing up. The official hadn't even signaled yet for a touchdown. So I was just trying to be patient. But in my heart, you know, it started to palpitate. Like, you know, because I think my partner, Ronald Wolfley, saw it. I think he wanted to jump in, but he didn't want to interrupt me. So he was kind of in a quandary.
I want to do one other Cardinals question, then I'll get to the game, obviously. You've had the privilege of seeing Larry Fitzgerald go through a Hall of Fame career, but now you've had a chance on a game-in and game-out basis to see DeAndre Hopkins. What have you thought of watching Hopkins every game, and what has he meant to Kyler Murray?
Well, the two are very different in terms of the type of players they are, with the exception of just incredible hand-eye coordination. But they're very different. You know, Larry obviously is at the end of his career, and DeAndre Hopkins is still in his prime. And, you know, to go out and get a player of the caliber DeAndre Hopkins, I don't know that a general manager in pro football has done more for his young quarterback than Steve Keim has for Kyler Murray. I think, again, getting Stephon Diggs was a great move by Buffalo to pair him with Josh Allen. And I know some of these other GMs with franchise quarterbacks that are, you know, a couple of years into the league are trying, but to get a guy that's at the top, arguably, in DeAndre Hopkins, I think for Kyler Murray, it's exactly what he needed, and I still don't feel like it's come together. He's among the league leaders in every receiving category, yet it still feels like there are some plays that have been left out there in the field, so I still feel like there's room for that duo to grow together.
Saturday, obviously, you'll have Penn State, Michigan in Ann Arbor. If they had told you about the assignment back on October 20th, the thought process probably would be different. But now that you've had a chance to see these two teams, what are some initial thoughts that you have, Dave, about this matchup on Saturday?
Yeah, you know, similar to, we had Clemson, Florida State last week until it got canceled 3 hours before kickoff, but kind of the same thing, right? You see those two schools matching up against one another, and you think potential instant classic, and maybe it still will be, but it's been obviously a strange year, an upside-down year for the world, and it just feels like Penn State's a microcosm of that. To come that close against Indiana and then just watching the last 4 weeks, it's really mesmerizing as to what's going on. I just didn't expect it. I'm sure you didn't. I don't think anybody did. But I wonder, with a lot of teams this year, especially those in the Big Ten and Pac-12, you start late, everybody's playing, you're sitting at home, you're waiting around, you finally get a chance to play, and you lose a game. That's got to be more deflating than ever, because obviously your chances go way down of competing for Big Ten title, playing in a college football playoff. The New Year's Six bowl games are big, obviously, but you know, even they have taken on a lesser significance this year, because it's all about the playoff. It's all about just getting through the year. And so I think it's been so taxing on everybody that when you lose a game, it's just like so deflating that you can't describe it. That's what it feels like to me when I watch Penn State.
So let's flip the page now to Michigan. Obviously, when the game was over with Iowa, I got home in time to watch Michigan play Rutgers, because it's Penn State's next two opponents playing each other. Cade McNamara comes off the bench, throws four touchdowns, triple overtime, Michigan wins. What kind of lift and what did you see out of Cade McNamara that allowed him to give Michigan a lift offensively?
I have to think that that's who Jim Harbaugh will go with, but you never know. He certainly isn't going to tell anybody. But just watching how different they looked with him at quarterback, and the spark that he provided, and clearly the leadership that was needed, I'd have to think that that's who Michigan will play at quarterback. Maybe they play both guys. Sounds like Penn State's going to do that. So you know, maybe Harbaugh will. But it just seemed like a big difference with McNamara than with Milton.
Okay, obviously you'll have an opportunity to talk with the coaches, I assume by Zoom probably. So give us just an idea. Give me one question for each that right now you'd like to ask James Franklin and you'd like to ask Jim Harbaugh.
Good question. I think the easiest thing that I could come up with for James Franklin is, is there anything in particular that you could put your finger on that says, here is where it went wrong? Here, you know, did you know in camp? Did it take you, you know, to week two before you just knew it was going to be a struggle? You know, it's been, for head coaches, I feel for them in this respect, that between recruiting, not being able to recruit the way you normally can with COVID, and just, you know, the disappointment that the players have had to go through, the financial impact it's had, not on the head coaches as much as it is on the people that support the head coach. It can't be easy trying to run a program and trying to win in this environment. So I'd like to know, I guess, from Coach Franklin, where do you think it went wrong? And then for Jim Harbaugh is, you know, where are the bright spots for the future? I think for Penn State, this is a up. They're too good. They're too talented. But for Michigan, you know, this is something. We had their bowl game against Alabama last year, and
yeah,
you know, they lost some guys to the league. They don't have the same players that they did on the defense a few years ago. It's just, I don't know if it's been a big drop off in recruiting. Obviously, the quarterback position, they still haven't solved that. So for Penn State, to me, it's about, you know, where did it go wrong in the present and the recent past, and then for Michigan, what's the future look like? Is this, should we get used to this? I don't think I'd phrase it that way to Coach Harbaugh. He probably would like it, but yeah. You know, hey, you know where I'm going with it. I just wonder if this is going to be the norm for Michigan football. Are they not much better than a 500 team?
All right, interesting. Obviously, you talked about Clemson, Florida State, which had odd circumstances that suddenly that game was postponed. So you're involved in that. How, and I'll phrase this, pleasantly surprised you've been that the NFL, and because you do the Arizona Cardinals, have been able to so far negotiate this thing as far as they have?
Well, with pro sports, and I, you know, had the good fortune to be a part of the NBA bubble as well. I went down there on two different occasions for regular season and playoff games. And now being a part of a full season in the NFL, obviously you have, and I'm not saying Penn State and Michigan schools like that don't have the means, but you can kind of create your own bubble without having to jump through as many hoops as a college program does or a conference does. The protocols are different in each conference. You know, for each school, they seem to be different depending on the local guidelines. You just look at Cal and, you know, what they've had to negotiate in Berkeley.
Right.
And so the NBA obviously had the bubble. The NFL, they've been able to create their own bubble. And I just think the NFL both did it the right way. I think the NFL, by just saying, you know what, we're going to play and we'll figure it out. We'll keep everybody safe, but we're going to figure it out. We're just going to play. We're going to move forward as if we're going to play. I think that was the right move. I know the Big Ten's taken a lot of heat for not doing that. Same with the Pac-12. But it is a little bit different when it's college sports. And again, the protocols aren't uniform. You don't have a boss of, you know, the FBS. It's
right.
just different. With that said, I still think the Big Ten made a mistake, and so did the Pac-12, obviously. But it's also much easier to look back at it now and say they made a mistake than to say that on August 10th.
Final question, because you were in the bubble a couple different times. What was it like in there? From the outside looking in, they're like, okay, they're just doing one thing and one thing only. But what was it like? How often did you have to be tested to make sure that you could continue in the bubble?
Yeah, our bubble was a little different. We were not in the same bubble as the players and the teams, but we still had to test regularly. I think it was, you know, every 3 days or something.
Okay.
You know, we had no contact really with anybody. I mean, we were as ESPN and TNT and some league officials, and there were some personnel from certain teams that would, they were at our hotel and in our bubble that didn't want to be in the team bubble where you had to get tested every day and you couldn't really do anything. We still were limited in what we could do. It was strange. I mean, you're in a, you know, going to small arenas to do NBA games and you're, you know, 20 rows up in a glass encased booth with no fans. Just as I'm sure it's been odd for you calling games with no fans where you're used to a raucous environment. You know, for NBA playoff games and no fans, it just was strange. That was, you know, and I've been doing, like, I'm doing this game on Saturday from my house. So, you know, to go from, you know, the bubble where you're doing games from a glass encased booth to doing, you know, college football games at home. It's been very, very strange. I wish I could, you know, it's one of these things where I think all of us that have been through it will write a book or something, or everybody will take a chapter and write a big book 15 years from now on what it was like, because I still feel like I'm in this big fog, and it's like a dream that you expect to wake up from, but you realize now you're not going to wake up from.
Right. Dave, absolute pleasure. You're one of the best in the business. Appreciate your work. Appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you having me on, Steve. Take care.